So this teaching we've received and the gifts is vital to the body, to the church, vital to the testimony of the gospel, so vital that as a church, the church we grasp, or it will never be. It will never be what it could be. It will never be what Jesus prayed it would be. It will never be what the Holy Spirit empowered and gifted it to be until there is no ignorance or a dismissive attitude relating to the spiritual gifts, but rather understand them and use them in the right way. And it's also imperative that when these gifts are given, they're administered in the right way. You see, with regard to the gifts, there is ignorance at times regarding the gifts. And what happens with ignorance, what manifests from that is abuse of the gifts, a dismissive attitude to the gifts. We can neglect the gifts, and they're basically, when you think about it, there's not that much more important. A lot of important things. But not many things that are that much more important. Out with the divine power of God, love, salvation, than the effective ministry of the spiritual gifts. And today, I'm going to be discussing one which sadly is particularly abused, it's misunderstood, but when you flip it, it is one of the most amazing gifts from God. Oh boy. One of the most amazing gifts from God. Wisdom and knowledge. You see, I believe wisdom and knowledge are kind of up there to be knocked and abused. Because when people look at the spiritual gifts, they look at things like healing and prophecy and tongues and the interpretation of tongues and miracles. And it's like, ooh, but with wisdom and knowledge, I'm your man, I'm your woman. And that's where a lot of the abuse comes in. Wisdom and knowledge are mentioned all the time together, and rightly so, because they can't be totally separated. They are very much closely related together. You could do a sermon in both. And this morning it's quite challenging because as I travel through this, I'll kind of jump between knowledge and wisdom, but it's important that we do that because they can be mentioned, they can be actioned, they can be discussed separately. But there comes a point where they blend. They kind of blend together, and the distinction between a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom can flow into one another. There are points where it might be a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. They kind of blend together. However, in basic terms, knowledge gives us the facts. Wisdom directs us what to do with the facts. But with regard to the spiritual gift, which we're referring to today, of knowledge and wisdom, there is a difference between the spiritual gift of wisdom and the spiritual gift of knowledge, although they do blend into each other together. You see, the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning fact in the mind of God regarding people, situations, places, etc., whether it's past or present. And a word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind of God. So there is a difference. So it's the ability through the gift to take the facts what the gift of knowledge is given and apply it in the right way. And as we've heard through the weeks, for edification of the church. And from that we give glory to God, and also the individual is blessed. You see, these are gifts of revelation. When we need something, when we need direction, but it's not available to us through natural thinking, natural ability, and not through our senses or intelligence, which can make us up, then God, the Holy Spirit, gives us a word. There it is, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Just a small imparted infusion of what's required of God's wisdom and God's knowledge at that particular time. And you may think, like many people, you're wise. You have all the wisdom in the world. You have all the wisdom required. But with no facts and truth knowledge, where does the application come from? Just because we think we're wise, there is no application acceptable from a spiritual perspective. And you can flip that. Someone might be super knowledgeable, but when you have no wisdom, what are you going to do with it? But that's a very general response to wisdom and knowledge. And it's good to grasp the general response to wisdom and knowledge, but it goes deeper than that. Because today we're referring to the spiritual gifts, which is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. That's what we're referring to today. That's the spiritual gift. And by the way, Let's not dismiss, and I'm not, that God gives us everyday wisdom to deal with daily things that come into our lives, situations, scenarios, whatever it may be. What a promise that is. You see, in God's Word, promise after promise after promise is laid out in His Word. And what an amazing promise that we see in God's Word is in James 1:5, where it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. How amazing is that? What a promise that is. Every born-again Christian has a right to ask God for wisdom to deal with these kind of daily things, these kind of way to navigate our way through this Christian walk. God's Word says you have not because you ask not. So the promise is there, but more often than not, it will not be a word of wisdom that you receive. God will place understanding in us in order to deal with these kind of daily things. And we should seek that wisdom, because when we seek that wisdom, there is a promise attached to it. How amazing is that? But today we're focusing on a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. God is all the wisdom. God is all the knowledge. God knows everything. But He never imparts all His knowledge or all His wisdom or everything that He knows on us at once. He gives us a word of something that He knows. It's a gift of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom that God reveals. Only the word, only the part that He wishes to be made known. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of a fool gushes folly. Folly would be to hold the pursuit of truth in contempt and kind of go down our own path in life like many of us do. We just go down our own path in life, not caring about truth, not caring about God's Word, yet still claim to be so spiritual. If we are wise, and many claim to be wise, we have to use knowledge correctly. Many have knowledge of God's Word, and that's great. We need knowledge of God's Word, but we don't use it in the right way, which in turn relates to not using wisdom in the right way. But a word of knowledge and wisdom imparted to us by the Holy Spirit changes everything. How amazing is that? The word, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom changes everything in the intended way. And that's where the whole thing opens up. And we're going to open up this morning regarding the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom. Knowledge. The word of knowledge is received by the Holy Spirit, which enables us to be more effective, to minister to other people's needs more effectively, to know knowledge, understand situations, circumstances, signs, demonic influences, false teachers, whatever it may be. It's a revelation about a person, a situation, not arrived at by natural thinking, but a word of knowledge given by the Spirit disclosing truth. That's what the gift does. It discloses truth, which the Holy Spirit wishes to be made known. This is stuff that can't be messed with, relating to a person, a situation, whether it's past or present. It's a word of knowledge from God. And if you have that gift, there is no other way humanly possible you would know or you would get it. It's from God at that time, that specific, measured word of knowledge. It's a word for a particular time, person. Why? To accomplish a purpose. That's what the gift does. It accomplishes a purpose. The word given points to what the Lord wants to do for someone. It can cover many things. Many, many things, but it is vital, imperative stuff not to be messed with. Knowledge is generally about a current state or person, but can reveal truth about the past. It could be a revelation regarding sickness. It could be quite specific regarding sickness. And it's amazing to see that gift administered and put into action, because what happens when that gift is given, and that person gives that gift of knowledge, especially regarding sickness and illness, the person receiving understands that it's from God. How amazing is that? And what can happen there? It can increase faith, and it can be brought about as a tool to bring faith into operation with regard to healing. It can be imparted. Knowledge can be imparted to align people to see issues. It can realign you to see issues, maybe regarding, we spoke about discerning of spirits last week, discerning false teachers, whatever it might be. It can be a word about dishonesty. Take the word about dishonesty. We can't fool God. We can't fool God. Nothing in all creation, Scripture says, is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. It can be used as confirmation. For a vision received, it can be confirmation. A word of wisdom can be followed by a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge can serve as confirmation for the word of wisdom. They entwine together. You can be used through the word of knowledge to build up discouraged Christians. Broken people spiritually who are at breaking point. A word of knowledge can help prepare for things ahead. Challenge. Forewarned is forearmed. We've heard that. Forewarned is forearmed. It can also convict. A word of knowledge can bring conviction and truth. It can confirm what God has been showing us in other ways. Perhaps through our word. If we read our word, God can speak to us through his word. And that can be confirmation. You see, knowledge can prepare us for what is to come. Wisdom helps us to know how to change things, to bring about the blessing. A word of knowledge will reveal how. But wisdom tells us how to break through, how to direct. It can come in many ways. And there will be a sense, a certainty in our spirit. You see, words of knowledge and words of wisdom, it's not wham, bam, puff of smoke stuff, and all of a sudden we're walking about the place with this divine knowledge and wisdom, trying to bestow it on this, that, and the next thing. It doesn't work that way. It's not by training or education. Some people think they can be trained into receiving the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. It's not by natural reasoning, but directly by the Holy Spirit, and we can't bypass that. Both are operated under God's control. We can't receive it by exercising our own will. Too many people today, too many Christians today, trying to live life, their Christian life, exercising their own will. We have to live in God's will. We have to seek God's will. When we seek God's will in life, things change. What happens is you seek God's will. If you live a life that tries to cleave to obedience and you try to cleave to his word and his truth, you seek his will. And when you want to live at the center of his will and you ask God for things and these things start to happen in your life, who do you think's putting them there? God. But what do we do in that circumstance? So many Christians stand about and still scratch their head. You've got to move in the will of God. Move in the will of God. But we can't do anything by exercising our own will, and especially regarding the gifts. Too many people trying to exercise their own will. You may need it. You may desire it. Oh boy, you may want the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom. But the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit gives it. Wisdom. That can be difficult to comprehend. If I asked every single person in here today, talk to me about wisdom, I'd get so many answers. So many things would come at me. But the bottom line with wisdom, and I want to do this in a way that, you know, these kind of, I was thinking about this morning, these kind of lollipops you get at the fairground, it's all the colours and it kind of goes right into the centre. And I kind of want to start with the periphery and how God defines wisdom and then just narrow it right down to the word of wisdom, which is that beautiful spiritual gift. You see, wisdom is so difficult to comprehend. But we have to understand how God defines wisdom. Job 28, 21, 28. Where does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It's hidden from the eyes of every hidden thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it and where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and views everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm. Then he looked at wisdom. He appraised it. He confirmed it. He tested it. Then he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. Then he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. Remember that word, understanding. It's an important word. You see, that describes saving faith, where it all starts. Both fearing God, departing from evil, at conversion, that genuine conversion, that genuine acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not words or emotion, and since that point, God's been kicked about the place. I'm talking about a genuine conversion. The process begins when we fear God by trusting and repenting of sin. You see, too many of us are trying to go through life as Christians, relying on human wisdom and the words of James in 3:15 echo loud and hard. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. That takes us so far, and more often than not, down paths of chaos. You see, you can't receive a word of wisdom, which is a gift, or a word of knowledge without knowing Him. If we don't know Him, there is no relationship to the giver of wisdom, to the giver of knowledge, to the giver of understanding. And God says, you want to access my wisdom? You want to access my wisdom? If you want to realize this gift, this amazing gift, this word of wisdom is for you, then it comes down to fearing the Lord. The only way it can come is to fear the Lord, and it's joined by living a life of righteousness, but it goes deeper than that. It goes way deeper than that, and that's echoed in Proverbs 9:10, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There's that word again. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, the controlling principle of wisdom is knowledge of the Holy One, knowing God, coming to know Him, a true relationship. Then, having known God, we are to fear Him. That means to have reverence for Him. So many people think they've got reverence for God. They don't. You can see it. You can see it. Reverence for God means living every day, every single day, with a constant conscious awareness of holding Him in awe and respect, to live our lives with a respectful obedience that He is sovereign, He is God, and He is holy. Wisdom has a moral function to it. Nothing to do with being intelligent or wise. How knowledgeable you are in biblical facts. True wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord, fear of God, and is expressed in understanding by departing from evil. Understanding is connected to obedience, and it's hard. Oh man, in this world today that we live, even for a Christian, it's hard to obey at times. It is. It's challenging. People reject. They don't obey. They don't fear Him. There's no awe. They don't hold Him in this kind of sovereign light. They don't really acknowledge in their daily lives that He's God, He's sovereign, He's holy. They kind of pick Him up and down as and when they want to pray into things. And that can describe many people in the church. Thus, there is no chance of receiving the gift, that wonderful gift of wisdom. That's why there is a massive responsibility on anybody who claims to be a born-again believer to witness, to teach, to preach, to obey, to fear Him, to respect Him, to be in awe of Him. And it comes down to one thing. Respecting His word. Why? Because that's where He reveals Himself. Remember in week 2, Pastor Debbie reiterated this big time. His word, His word. We hear it from this pulpit all the time. His word, that's where He reveals Himself. Psalm 138:2 says, God has exalted His word as high as His own name. That's the importance of God's word. No matter who we think we are, who people tell us we are, we can't respect God without respecting His word. It can't happen. You can't respect God without respecting His word. That means to obey it, to know it, to love it, to live it, to try and cleave to His word, to respect His law, His power, His authority, to acknowledge His hatred of sin, to acknowledge that He is God, to acknowledge that He is a God who has every right to judge as He will do. To acknowledge that He is a God that will, He will follow through His redemptive plan, which includes heaven and it includes hell. And we can't get away with that. We can't get upset at God because He's going to follow through a redemptive plan. But we also have to respect His love, His mercy, and His grace. Knowing Him is worshipping Him as He really is. Turning from sin means we fear Him. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The starting point is to fear Him, to come to know Him, to honor Him. You see, fearing God is knowing God, and that's the channel. That's the channel where wisdom lies that God, the Holy Spirit, chooses to impart the spiritual gift of wisdom and indeed knowledge. You see, departing from evil is understanding, not intelligence. Now, not how wise we think we are, not how people... You know, in church, so many people tell other people, you're this, you're that, and the next thing. And they don't live a life cleaving to obedience, or at least trying to live a life of obedience. You see, knowledge of God's word is essential, especially relating to the revelation gift. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have understanding. That word understanding again. Precepts would be a general term for the responsibility that God places upon every born-again believer. No boy. There is a responsibility in MD who claims to be a believer of Jesus Christ. Wisdom is the primary thing, and out of it proceeds understanding. You see, it all links together. It all flows together. In Hebrews form, it means insight into real name and essence of persons or situations. That's much deeper than just being wise or intelligent or clever or smart or being told you're this, that, or the next thing. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, that spiritual gift, is a big, big deal. But here's where the whole thing opens up. Here's where the whole thing opens up. If you or I are someone with understanding, if we are someone with understanding, God will allow you to see into the very heart of a person or situation that you're dealing with. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is understanding. We know that. We've heard that. We grasp that. The fear of the Lord is understanding. Then it says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So from that comes a fear of the Lord. Then if given from the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, insight, knowledge. How awesome is that? And to get the point of how important this is, where we despise instruction, many do, where we're puffed up with pride, importance, or worth, where we claim to be self-sufficient or arrogant, when we are unwilling to be taught or corrected, that is folly. Hold the pursuit of truth in contempt and just go down our own path. And that path we go down will take us away from the truth that we're meant to live. And the bottom line is, if that's the way we live, then it absolutely obliterates and contradicts the genuine heartfelt desire that is required to seek the imparted gift of wisdom and indeed knowledge. It's the opposite way of living as opposed to fearing the Lord. Out of the fear of the Lord comes wisdom that equips us to deal with God's holiness, to God's holiness. And when we relate to God's holiness, We live in the fear of the Lord, a sanctifying fear which causes us, how amazing, to depart from evil. Psalm 51:6, David is speaking to God out of a broken heart, broken state, and says, you despised faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. God takes pleasure in truth in someone's heart. Do you know that? God takes pleasure in truth in someone's heart. David deceived himself full of sin, like many of us today. We just carry on with that sin. But God desires, not me, not the pastors. God desires truth from within to be lived out. And that comes from the fear of the Lord. And when we have truth within, sincere, open with God, it says, the secret place you taught me wisdom, thus divine wisdom, that imparted wisdom by the Holy Spirit, the gift through a word that's not in the mind, it's not intelligence. Wisdom in the hidden place, the secret place, the spirit of us, our inner being, our heart, that clean heart. That pure heart will be genuinely commune with God. It is sought, it is imparted, it is given, it is gifted through a word of, and that's where it all aligns and clicks, because God's word aligns and clicks perfectly, because that's where God wants us to cultivate the fear of God and receive the gift, the word of wisdom, and indeed the word of knowledge, not through an intellectual type scorecard, not through believing we're something we're not. Not believing, but because we've got all this kind of knowledge. It is given. And then, and only then, it enables us to see, begin to see God's purposes, clarity in our own lives, see things around us in a divine way with total divine purpose as a result. You see this gift, how amazing. There are results to it. That reiterates the importance of it. There are results to this amazing gift of wisdom and knowledge. It will enable us to counsel and guide in a divine way. And when we receive this gift, we receive true godly wisdom. And then we receive God's counsel. And then, and only then, Do we know how to react, act in situations to help, guide, and direct? Wisdom is direction in the right way, i.e. fulfilling the purpose that God intends through that amazing gift. When the Holy Spirit gives wisdom, there will be a divine consciousness within us that manifests, and then, and only then, will appropriate direction be given relating to the gift that has been received, called the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom solves disputes and issues, can bring unity and peace, understanding, spiritual progress. It directs past chaos and danger. But as we read, it's in our secret place, our inner being, imparted, gifted, and there's one route to it. We can't study it. We can't be told we have it. We can't think we deserve it. It's received when we open up to God. Truly open up to God, and then, and only then, will a channel manifest which the Holy Spirit will impart His wisdom to the relevant person at that particular time for that particular purpose. How amazing is that? And it's also important to grasp, as we read in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. What we do depends on the timing of the gift which is received through the Holy Spirit at the right time, which is that imparted gift of wisdom. As a body of Christ, we are faithfully told to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they manifest among us, and then leave it up to the Holy Spirit. Do we do that? Do we leave it up to the Holy Spirit after seeking? Or do we just run about the place believing we have this gift and that gift just because? God offers so much wisdom, saying there is a time for everything, a season for everything. God is sovereign, and what we do in these days that we have left, and some have more than others, is so, so meaningful as we rely on His wisdom, His knowledge, His timing, His goodness. They are ultimately to edify the church. We know that. We've heard that every week. To edify, to build up the body, which is amazing. And in doing that, we're glorifying God, and also there is a blessing to others. But as we have heard throughout the weeks, every week, and this is imperative stuff, we have to grasp, we have to acknowledge, and we have to administer God's heart for love. So important. We have to administer God's heart for love. Stay humble as we use the gift, the word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom, direct them to prayer and what they receive. So these available gifts, the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, do we desire them and allow the Holy Spirit to work? Do we stay open to God and let His will be done? The power of the Holy Spirit is very much for today, yeah? Very much for today, in these last days. That means we can't discard it, we can't ignore it, we can't dismiss it, we can't trash it. We have to accept it, embrace it, cleave to the obedience of it. Remember, Scripture says, one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, as we learn to yield to God. His plans and purposes will be revealed to us through the word of wisdom and through the word of knowledge, as His Spirit wills. How amazing is that? As His Spirit wills. Do we stay alert? Do we desire to administer the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom as a blessing and a privilege? Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, we heard this last week. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He wants us to be wise. We know we have to acknowledge there are limitations with regard to our knowledge and our wisdom. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He is able. He is faithful. So learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And like we hear every week, He will give us peace and understanding to know something is of God, and to know something is not of God. Because not everybody has that amazing gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Whether they think they have is a different matter. But If we open up to the Holy Spirit, He will give us peace and understanding to know something is of God and something is not. So let's stay alert to the Holy Spirit and embrace these amazing gifts, which are absolutely so relevant to today. But let's truly grasp that they are given by the Holy Spirit. And when received, I pray that we use them effectively.